With a sick son and a regular wife. He has cancer. Mm-hmm. He's trying to figure out, you know, how I'm going to help out my family without the bills.
Yeah, that was my thing. You nailed every single concern I had about that show when it first started.
Yeah, and he's already mad at the world because, you know, he was partners with childhood, you know, high school friends, and he sold out early. They became billionaires, and he's, you know, cleaning tires.
Oh.
Chemistry degree, so he's already pissed off. So, like, you know what? I'm not going to leave my family in the lurch. I know chemistry. I know my friend. He's in drugs. I'll just sell meth.
I mean, and that's what it sounded like. It was a comedy at first, but then the more I read, it was supposed to be a serious tone. And it was, I mean, it's my own like bias. Then it was the guy from Malcolm in the Middle, the goofy ass dad from that.
Well, I'll tell you this. By the time season 2 or definitely season 3, you don't even think about that anymore. Because the first season start, he still looks like the dad from Malcolm. He has the hair, he's got the build, everything like that. You know, like, so if you see promos from later on, you see him, you know, bald head, skinny face, looking menacing. It's kind of a shock seeing him in season 1. It's like, who's this schlub? But yeah, it definitely builds.
Well, no, and I've heard nothing but good things about it now. So it's a matter of actually getting back on Netflix to go ahead and watch this. I binged watched. God, that's kind of weird to say it like that. I binged on Arrested Development, and then I just kind of got spotty with using Netflix again, and especially with how many TV shows are on. But now most of those are over.
Yeah, I use Netflix I definitely used it for Spartacus, the first season.
Yes. Yeah. Stars was great. That's when they had that deal with Stars.
Yeah. So
you
that's
could watch not, whatever you wanted. It was perfect.
Yeah. And then it's funny. I'm glad I did that because they ended the deal, but we had Stars by then, so we were caught up. What else? There's been other shows on Netflix. Oh, Sons of Anarchy. That's the main one I use because people had told me, you know how they told me about The Wire. I heard from, you know, Sons of Anarchy, check it out. And I never really watched FX too much. But I was like, you know, why not? So I start watching it. And, yeah, that's a good show. That's a weird show because it's kind of hyper-reality is the best way to describe it. It's like Hamlet with motorcycles. That makes any sense. And it makes sense. Yeah. And it makes sense watching it, but it's definitely a good show.
Yeah, the girl watches that one. And she's always like, oh, my God, they killed this guy off. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, okay. That's so weird. They're not afraid of killing off stars. Like, no. Say, you know, spoiler alert for people who may not watch, Ron Perlman, one of the big stars of the show, and they've killed off how many people in the cast that comes on the actual show, come on character one? I think three or four since the show's been on, like major characters.
Yeah.
I've been counting, like, you know, villains or anything like that.
See, and I enjoy that, and I think that's kind of, I don't want to say FX started that trend, but FX definitely, as much as HBO gets credit for, like, The Sopranos, actually, I guess The Sopranos is what really started the, not leniency, it opened up the door for other networks and other TV shows to do drastic things like this. And before we go any further, hey, welcome everyone, it's We Watch Stuff. We started talking, and I was like, I don't know why I haven't hit record, so we just hit it. We're in officially episode 2 of We Watch Stuff. So thanks for listening. So what we were talking about was TV shows, obviously. But yeah, I did not see The Sopranos when it first started. I watched three seasons before the end. So I wasn't up. Like, I didn't see the big pussy death.
Well, you're better than me. You know how many episodes I've seen of Sopranos? I have seen 2. The one when Adriana died, when they were chasing the woods, and the series finale. And that's it.
See, I think that was, I had HBO and I had cable, so the on-demand feature was way better. And I want to say, actually, where she died, that was the season I started. So I really wasn't sure the dynamics of all the characters. I hadn't watched the entire season. I just started watching it because people I worked with talked about it. And when the guy in the Bruce Springsteen band, Stevie Van Zandt, he played Big Sill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He gets out of the car and not that kids are listening, but we do a pretty good job of not swearing on the show, so be prepared. But he gets out of the car and he's like, "Get back here, you fucking cunt," or something, and then shoots her or goes like puts a gun in and you don't see her die. But it was like, wow, that's the idea that they thought they were taking this girl away, or like she thought she was getting away or whatever. And then all of a sudden, just everything turning on her like that, being demeaned like that, and then being murdered in the woods because she couldn't escape. I was shocked.
Yeah, I was too. And I remember just laughing at that because the whole, you know, dynamic of that episode where she feels like she's doing the right thing by being an FBI informant, and then she wanted to save herself. And then Chris was like, "I thought she loved me. She couldn't do any goddamn time," and blah, and yeah. Just. And I was just laughing my ass off at the rationale they use. And then just see her running away. Like, you knew what was going to happen, but they don't show it. And I heard people talking about, "You think she ran away?" I'm like, no, she didn't run away. She didn't jump on the back of a black bear and run away to, you know, the witness protection.
See, yeah, that was one of the funnier things, that people were still trying to make excuses, like how she could be alive and whatnot. And then didn't she come back in a dream? Oh, you wouldn't have seen it. But I think she came back in like one of Christopher's dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And it really confused things. So that gave people even more credence, like she may still be alive or something like that. And I'm like, characters just die. But people weren't used to that thing. And then that's when television started changing with these sort of things. You were watching, like, I hate using anti-hero because I think it gets used way too often.
But basically, that's what you were watching. And like you said, with FX, it started. I remember The Shield was one of the first.
One of the most underrated, greatest shows ever.
I think it was just ahead of its time.
Yeah.
More or less.
The
weren't ready for it.
Well, for some reason, I think it was my divorce or maybe something like that. I missed the season with Glenn Close. So I actually had to go back and watch that, because if you hadn't seen that, you were screwed for the rest of the series. Because they're talking about the Armenians' money and then burying it or hiding it and then Lem burning it and all that sort of stuff. And I'm playing with my headset because the part we didn't record, this ghetto piece of shit. There we go.
It tape belts.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. But that was one of those shows you had to see everything. But it was also the main character is a horrible person. No matter how much, you know, the little things that seeped out, they tried to redeem, like he tried redeeming himself.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredibly vile. And then you've got Walton Goggins as Shane.
That's worse.
And the only nice guy of the group gets killed by one of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that was absolutely shocking when that happened.
That was one of the first shows I remember where you didn't really have any redeemable characters. Like, you know, the people that were necessarily good would just play so self-righteous that you root for the bad guys. But then it's like, you know, I'm rooting for this crooked-ass cop that's stealing money and shooting friends and, like, kind of, you know, and kind of feel bad. He was like one of the first, you know, people talk about Tony Soprano and they talk about Walter White. But that, and even, I think, because NYPD Blue might have still been on, and they had a little bit of that, but it wasn't at that level. He was like, Sipowicz was just a racist and a prick, but he wasn't a monster. You know, he was just a regular, you know, old fat cop. More
yeah.
Or less.
Yeah, he was just a guy with problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing. I shouldn't say. I never watched NYPD Blue. I didn't care. That was still when I was in grade school, high school sort of stuff. And that always seemed like your parents watched that stuff.
It wasn't that long ago, because I remember watching that, and I wasn't watching it when I was like 9.
Well, No. When it first started. Yeah, I was in high school when that first started.
Yeah, it started in the early 90s. I remember I started watching it. I didn't watch the first season with, what's his name, Caruso. I started watching when Jimmy Smith was on there, so.
Yeah, the only reason I even knew about the show, really, because at that age, you get a car, and you're getting out of the house all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was that they showed ass on the TV.
Yeah, they showed the wrong one, though. Who wants to see Dennis Franz's ass?
Yeah. But can you just imagine, though, that was, you know, and that's what started changing TV as well. I mean, that was a big deal. And now on, you know, FX, which, you know, most people don't realize, just because you pay for HBO, that doesn't mean these other networks can't do the exact same thing. They just choose not to.
Yeah, because you bought a big FX like Southern Anarchy. They throwing out curse words and new. I'm like, I know this is pay TV, but this is Showtime. I just watched lots. I'm like, they said that and nobody said anything. And I think you brought it up with a show or somebody talking about Louis.
That was me, yeah.
And they cursed and you didn't bleep. And it's like, wow.
Yeah, and it's funny how when watching the episode, which people. If you don't even like Louis, that episode where the girl, the fat girl, it was called the fat girl, just starts going off. It just drops you. And it still resonates with me. And I actually went back and watched it again. It was, you know, because I'm not the meanest person as I portray myself to be, because it's fun that way. But at the same time, I'm not the nicest either. But watching something like that can change you. And it was such a smartly argued point, you know, passionate and all that, but we're as bad as movies have gotten with this sort of thing. TV's picked up the slack in every possible way, and I think, and going back to what we originally started with, FX deserves way more credit than they get.
Yeah,
Showtime finally started getting there, but they were always the network for Red Shoe Diaries or
that word
was it. They had some Passion Hotel or Hotel Passion or something like that. That was a Showtime one. And yeah. I know Cinemax is Cinemax, whatever. And
but yeah,
I don't know.
Then Stars is funny because they try to do it, but they don't have shows that last longer than two seasons besides Spartacus. And I think Da Vinci Code, if it makes season three, it'll be the first one since then to make it past two. They keep trying those dramas and, you know, it's nice period pieces, but it's like fluff.
Yeah, I did see the Full Sail preview, and that looked cool. But I'm like, I don't want to pay for Stars just for that show. And I think that's another problem. I believe FX is moving their stuff to Amazon Prime. I'm sorry, Stars.
Stars is. Mm-hmm.
So I've already got that, so I'm like, why would I bother subscribing?
Yeah.
But... Yeah, Stars had Spartacus, and I started watching King Arthur, and then they canceled that after a year, or Arthur, whatever it was called, Camelot, that's what it was. And it was okay, but, you know.
But no, yeah.
Yeah.
Stars was like, their main show was basically Spartacus, and like, and Cinemax's main show, and somebody put me on, I started watching, was Strike Back. And I used to watch the previews, I'm like, it just seemed goofy. But then actually watching it, it's an enjoyable show, and it's got that, you know, uppity British tint. You know, you do a British accent on anything, you automatically assume it's classier, even if it's fluff.
Isn't but that funny how that works out?
It's accents. People like that.
Yeah. But I'm a sucker for that, too. And I was – what the hell was I watching? I was watching some goofy show, or maybe it was a movie. And I always complained that why do all of these, like – Lord of the Rings, even Game of Thrones, which I'm not segueing yet, but, you know, same thing. But, like, why do these things always have to have English actors or English accents? Because even Game of Thrones, Peter Dinklage is American. And so is, well, spoiler alert, so was Oberon. He's an American. Or didn't speak with an accent, I should say. But yet they gave these guys accents for some reason. But then I saw a movie where they didn't.
And it sounded ridiculous, didn't it?
The one with Channing Tatum.
The Eagle.
The Eagle.
Yeah.
He didn't have an accent. I don't believe it. I believe that was the one. Mm-hmm. And it threw me out of the movie.
And that's why.
Yeah.
Just so used to hearing accents. And then it's something I know is watching those sword and sandal movies. It just seems like they can do it better, maybe because they grew up in like a theater setting, and you have to have that type of, you know, you have to believe the words you say no matter how nonsense it sounds. And and some of it sounds nonsense. And the voice, like you said, the voice matches it because it sounds believable. Like, I remember watching Troy, and that's like my favorite good, fun, bad movie. And the people complaining most was Brad Pitt. This sounded out of place. Like, everybody else sounded like, you know, British or Scottish. And Brad Pitt didn't even bother. He just sounded like, you know, some dude from California with a sandwich.
Yeah, I didn't like Troy at all when I watched it. So, but I know exactly what you're talking about, though. And, yeah, I just think we've been so... the word that keeps coming up to me is sterilized, but almost just trained.
Indoctrinated.
That's it. Thank you. That was actually the word I was looking for. I don't know where sterilized came from, but whatever. But we've just had so many movies. And like even the old Sword and Sandals, like you brought up with like Kirk Douglas, Chuck Heston, they weren't speaking in accents. So it's like, where along the way did it change? Like,
the 80s?
I guess, but even those are like historical pictures. I'm talking like Lord of the Rings, like Game of Thrones, like all these made up ones.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I always argue that they say, oh, well, you know, maybe it's not Earth. You know, it might look like the mountains of Ireland, but they never, you know, Westeros wasn't, you know, Scotland 2000 BC. It's a different planet. Yeah. So it might sound like, you know, they, you know, like I say, every, you know, you got the island folks. They all brown and swarthy. Everybody else, you know, the North sound Irish. The Lannisters and all their prissy friends sound British. You know, and it's kind of, I guess it's just they do that because that's what you expect. And if you didn't get that, you would kind of get thrown off because you're used to hearing that from watching all those shows. And then a few times you don't, you get thrown off. Like before we segue, I saw Pompeii and Kiefer Sutherland. He's Canadian, right? He threw out, you know, the haughty, tardy British accent, and it fit. And I'm just thinking,
did he really?
Yes, he did. He played that role to the hilt. Like he knew what type of movie he was in, and he threw that accent out. And Carrie Ann Moss, you know, she tried a British accent. I'm like, I know they don't sound like it, but if they sounded, you know, if he had his Jack Bauer voice, it wouldn't fit this movie. So I didn't think anything of it.
It's just weird. Especially saying that you said I didn't see Pompeii. I was like, whatever. And
you did. It was a nice movie. It fits with the whole Michael Bay thing we talk about later. But the problem was it would have been better if they had someone else in the lead role. When I'm watching, I kept thinking about Spartacus, and I'm like, either the guy that was originally Spartacus before he died, or the guy that got replaced, the movie would have been a lot better because everybody else was fine. But Jon Snow just that mopey dopey act does not work in big time movies. It works on the show because he is other people around him, so it fits. When he's a star, and you know, like you can look the part and you can talk the part, but that don't necessarily mean you be the part. And I kept saying, like, you know, it's Jon Snow faking it, more or less.
Uh huh. Yeah. Well, no, I think he's an American actor, isn't he? I think so.
It's American or Australian? Or Kit Harington? You gotta look it up.
Yeah. Well, but since we talk about Jon Snow, and we're on Game of Thrones, here's the spoiler part, kids. The rest of the show, it's your fault.
He's English, by the way. Okay.
So let's pause 5 seconds like we usually do. Remember, it's your fault.
Don't get spoiled.
All right, so last night's Game of Thrones. I enjoyed the final battle, the fight. I enjoyed the fight, but I thought it was predictable. And I didn't think the episode was constructed correctly.
I'll say I actually had a reverse because I like how they got all this stuff out the way because the whole episode was based about the fight. It's like if, you know, you got to say the fight for the end because that's what you'll be talking about. So get all this stuff out the way. And it's kind of based on how the last two episodes are. It's like they tied up all the storylines for the season that's not going to be there. We got to tie them up here. So let's tie them up. And normally they save that for episode 10. And it kind of feels, you know, people kind of like, because you know how they build up. Like the knife episode is normally like the most shocking one.
Yeah, well, that's going to be next week's Battle of the Wall.
Yeah. And they have Neil Marshall directing that one like he did Battle of Blackwater. So, but it's just, you know, they tied up loose ends. And watching the fight, I shouldn't have been surprised that it ended like it ended, even though I didn't read the book. But it's kind of like, you know, Game of Thrones teach you that don't expect, you know, take out your thought process that, you know, the good guy wins at the end or you'll get justice. Because usually it's like, no. If you do stupid stuff or if you get caught up in honor and ego and everything like that, bad things will happen. And as soon as he start, we might as well talk about it. You know, he playing the whole thing up and he's winning the fight kind of easy and he could have ended the fight. But it's not. It wasn't about that. He wanted to have proof. You know, he couldn't just win. He had to get justice. He should know better. I'm like, these people don't know. They don't know where they live. He's been around these people. Don't worry about that later. And I'm watching the whole thing. And I watch out and it's like, as soon as he starts talking, like, confessing, I'm like, yeah, something bad's going to happen. I wasn't expecting it to be as gruesome and gory as it was. But, oof, like, I was watching with my wife and we just watching it and we like, like, it's just, it felt bad because he was a cool character and the whole time he had flair, but he had common sense and he was brought in having, you know, being smart and being there for a cause. And it's like ego. It's always ego.
Okay. I agree that episode had to end with the battle, with the dual fight. Trial by combat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, and maybe this is part of the marketing's problem, every single commercial showed the fight.
And nothing else.
It starts off with 40 minutes of shit no one cared about because of that. And maybe I fell prey to that, okay?
Everybody did, because they built it up so much. And it was not only that, it was a 2-week gap because we didn't have an episode from Memorial Day weekend. So,
yeah.
From the
That's
way.
Another problem, yes.
From the way the last episode ended, it was like, you're going to see a fight. And it's, you know, who's going to save Tyrion? And for 2 weeks, all you saw HBO, the fight.
Mm-hmm.
But you realize, well, they're not going to fight for 45 minutes. So, you got to build, you got to get through here. And the other storylines, they were a good story. They suffered because, like, okay, I know this is important. I'm ready to see the fight. Let's get to the fight. And then talking about, you know, the retarded cousin smashing Beatles for 7 minutes.
What was his name again? Oh, boy. It was a great name, too. Otto? No.
I have no idea. I just laughed. I had no idea. Jamie Lynn said, like, who gives a dusty fuck?
It was great.
I was just laughing because I get the point of the story. But by that point, I'm like, I'm ready to see the fight. And, you know, save the life lesson for episode 10. Like, let's get it on.
I'm looking real quick. Hang on. what I was going to say though about that was, I think what they should have started with was Jaime and Tyrion talking, so that you immediately jump in. You've established, yeah, this is going to happen here. You know, the two of them, they go through their seemingly pointless conversation. You know, sort of. And then you can cut away, like, the bell tolls, and it's like, it's time. Then you can get into the other storylines to wrap it up. So you're engaged, you're given a reassurance this is going to happen. Because honestly, watching that, I really thought they were going to pull the rug out and not have the actual battle.
Oh, that people have been pissed because they showed enough scene. I'm like, now, Game of Thrones can be kind of dastardly, but if they did something like that, people would lose their mind.
Mm-hmm. But again, that would not have surprised me in the least if they did that. So that was one of the only episodes I've ever checked the clock while it was on. Yeah. Only because I didn't trust them to deliver the fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if they would have started off with Jamie and Tyrion talking, it would have, you know, reassured Orson was the guy's name. It would have kind of reassured you they were going to do this. And then you can get into the storylines that really you don't care about much. I believe the first one they started with was the first they started with actually was – it kind of made up for the way it started with all the Unsullied and then the chicks all bathing in the same river.
Mm-hmm.
And I was okay with that.
Yeah, obviously. That's typical Game of Thrones love story, a slave and a eunuch find love.
Which apparently I have not read the books, but apparently from what I've heard, that part is not in the books.
Yeah.
So, but when the guy won't write any more novels, what are you going to do? You got to drag this thing out a little bit.
I'll be there. Just give me time. I'm writing. I'm just proofreading now. I'm like, yo. Yeah.
Dude, that guy is what, 300 pounds overweight and in his 60s?
Now, and the gaps have been getting bigger. It used to be every year, every other year. Then it was like a 3-year gap, and then a 5-year gap, and then who knows how long. Like he's saying, he's working on it, but
yet you see him doing all these appearances, and it's like, you know how long it takes to write a blog, let alone, and that's like a single thing for someone like a hack amateur like me. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what it is for someone who has a copious amount of characters, plot threads, foreshadowing, all this sort of thing to tie it together. So I don't mind when they go off script because I don't know anyways.
Yeah.
But that so they had that, and then they brought back out of the blue that pardon.
Mm-hmm. And I like how Game of Thrones has a habit of taking stuff from earlier seasons, like throwaway things you forget about. And then making it matter. Because I remember Tywin writing, like I always brag, if Tywin's writing a letter, bad things happen. And I remember a couple episodes, he's just writing one of his letters, and he stamps, and I'm like, oh, where's that going? And then sending the letter to Barristan, just to make sure George can't, like, that's just slick, like how they handled that. And then I kind of looked on both sides, like, it's... That episode was one of the main reasons I don't like Daenerys. I know most that's a lot of people's favorite character, but she's just so strident and just, you know, my way or the highway. I'm like, okay, you pissed. This dude's been there from Jump Street. When you just had dirty-ass rags and eating grass, he was there. He saved your life about 2 or 3 times. You can't let him slide.
Yeah, exactly. He's given you nothing but sound and sage advice going back to last episode. Now, what I was confused by is it said it was from Robert Baratheon.
Mm-hmm.
So, was that Tywin writing it like that? Or was it the same letter from before?
See, I got rid of it. I was confused too, because I was like, he first got the letter getting a pardon, and then he was like, you know, I'm not going back. Like, he just looked at it, but he's been there. I think he got the pardon a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to been, I don't know, it's kind of, I'm thinking Tywin wrote that and then, you know, messed with the timing. So Jorah can defend anyway saying, you know, this is Forge and everything. And they're like, well, this was written like blah, blah, blah ago since Jump Street.
Yeah, okay. She said it was written a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm totally lost on the time frame of the show then. Unless certain parts are taking place at different times. But then they always refer to other events going on to where they would be up to date in each segment of the show.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it's been a lot longer than 1 year.
But you never know, because it's probably been 2 weeks since Arya and the Hound just been walking around.
True.
Oh, and everything like that. But on the other hand, people going across the ocean on boats and all that. Yeah, time is kind of, and I blame Lord of the Rings with that. You never get a good track of how much time elapsing. Because on one hand, you're thinking like months have happened and everything like that. But then you see stuff with like Bran and everything, like people walking like a cripple and, you know, a dummy and a wolf can't go that far. And, you know, so, yeah, I never tried. It's hard to keep track of time and how things go. And that episode really didn't help because I was kind of thrown off with the time. Like, well, when exactly is this? You know, was this a forged letter and they forced the time and like what's the time frame? But it was kind of set up where he couldn't lie himself out of it.
Yeah. The reason I even brought that part up, though, was that whole storyline is absolutely pointless. It's nice that we got to see that one girl naked. Believe me, that was great to see that.
Mm-hmm.
That entire storyline after season one is absolutely pointless. She's building power on the other side. Cool. And they throw a dragon at you every two episodes, every like five episodes.
And okay. It's on running to the big fry. I know exactly where you're going. And it's running to the benefit of Game of Thrones, why they can do what they do, and the biggest problem people have with Game of Thrones. It's based on a book, and the script more or less has been written. And people say all the time, well, you got to wait for it and build to that. And it's what we talked about last week, you know. You got to build up to it, give it time. And that's almost like cheating. Like, you're not still watching shows that way. You know, we do it now because of Netflix and we binge watch. But you're not used to watching shows that way where you can say, you know, I'm going to pay attention to this because it's going to mean something 2 years from now. I mean, it'll be nice, you know, when they talk from stuff from like season one and it's important and all that stuff with Littlefinger. It was nice, but you got to make it matter now because I'm not going to care.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and that's the other part, and they've run into this already. Everyone realizes that there's another Stark kid running around. But they don't mention him at all. There's the crippled kid, Bran.
Mm-hmm.
The two girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the littlest brother.
That's like six words.
Yeah. And I think I was arguing with my buddy Eric that there was another one. And I was like, no, there is another brother.
All right. So I have no idea what's going on with our recording equipment, but we lost a very healthy part of our conversation on Game of Thrones. And what it basically came down to was, well, it was really good, but if they killed Tyrion off, I may stop watching, even though we covered a lot of the show and about how, well, we spent all this time, and then I said I was going to stop watching, but I'm still clearly enjoying it. We also bagged on Kristen Stewart a little bit, because she sucks in everything she's in. A lot of Game of Thrones conversation. That's going to explain the really harsh break where we talk about the littlest or youngest, smallest, forgotten Stark brother and everything after that. It's an embarrassing thing, but we've got too much content that we think everyone would want to listen to get rid of it. So bear with us. Don't know why this is happening. It's on me to figure it out since I'm the one that records and edits these things. So bear with us. We watch stuff. And I also watch how these shows don't get recorded after the fact. So enjoy. Come back next week. I hope we've got it fixed. No guarantees, but, well, there's worse stuff you could listen to. Seriously. So back to whatever this is going to get spliced into.
She always chooses those roles. Like even that Snow White thing, she was down all the time. And like her indie movies. Of course, it's an indie movie as well, so there you go. But there are no happy indie movies. But no, I can't take her, and I wish we could have started with this too. Oh, that's another one that they could have used that they used English accents in, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So
and they did, and she didn't, but everybody else did.
But this is actually what we were going to something else we were going to talk about, which we'll save for next time. I'm a big hater of the current action, not current action movies, but the way they make them. And the way they make them bloodless and over-violent without any consequences. So,
and you know who's responsible for that?
Yep.
The guy that was the Transformers guy.
Yep. So we'll bring that up next time when we talk about Transformers as well.
Yeah.
Or do we?
I have my fingers. I have a quotation marks next time when we talk about the Transformers.
So when does that next awful Transformers movie that's going to make a shitload of money come out?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's July 4th weekend, maybe? Or the weekend before July 4th, something like that?
That's going to be the top grossing movie of the year, by far. And it's not close.
We'll see. We'll talk about it next time. So let me do quick plugs, then you can take us out. StunkGranny at gmail.com. We're StunkGranny on everything. You can find us on Twitter. I'm Granny Maze, and Do you even use yours that often?
Yes, I'm at Michael E. Bay at Twitter.
All right, so there's that. Follow us on Stunt Granny. You can find this podcast under Stunt Granny on any of your iTunes, Beyond Pod, any of that stuff. You can subscribe to it. Check out the site. Look for us on Facebook. Do all that good stuff because it's the 23rd century, Buck Rogers. So check it out. I'm out. We'll get at you next week.
All right, for Jeremy and his lack of tape, I'm Shahid, and we will see you next week. Sorry, Michael Bay.